is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, bomb, man!
Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hey, there's my son. Shoot the ball, man. Well, 49ers, as we've claimed many, many times, listen to this program, who have breaking news out of their camp. We just talked about it. Now Adam Schefter reports it. Trey Lance has officially signed his four-year, $34.1 million, fully guaranteed contract. The Jets' Zach Wilson, shockingly.
Handsome Zach Wilson.
Yeah, very handsome. Whole family's very handsome. The last remaining first-round pick unsigned. So, apparently, when we talk about it, it wills itself into existence. So, let me just say this completely unrelated. You know, the Kings still haven't made a trade.
They have not.
No, they haven't. They're going to make a trade while we're talking to Jason Anderson. Watch.
What do you want to bet on it?
Nothing.
Okay, same. You're on. Hey, I put together a couple trades with the Sixers since Sam rumored it earlier that the Sixers could be in on Buddy Hield. Sans Ben Simmons.
So I don't want to interrupt your list. You and I were talking about how we don't see how that works. If it's not Ben Simmons, if it's not Joel Embiid, then it would have to be Tobias Harris money-wise. Go ahead. I don't want to steal your thunder.
So let's start with the Tobias Harris one I came up with. But I came up with another one with none of the guys you mentioned.
Right.
It'd be Harris and the number 28 to Sacramento for Buddy, Bagley, and Jameis Ramsey to make money work.
Okay.
The other one I came up with, this is a completely different trade. It would be George Hill, Seth Curry, and Matisse Thybulle for Buddy Hield.
I would enjoy that. I don't think either of those happen. I don't think the Sixers do either of those. But I think you and I are both victims of understandable tunnel thinking in talking to folks. Since that report came out, the most likely scenario overwhelmingly, if the Sixers are in on Buddy Hield, is a three or more team deal.
Okay.
And we're both discounting that.
Oh, yeah. I just did. This is just a straight swap of the two teams.
Right, totally.
And I'm basing it I'm trying to make money work.
Right.
And that's really the only
way
to do it.
Aren't we all?
No.
Aren't we all?
Not everyone
money
is.
Work? Yeah. The most likely scenario there would be almost certainly a three-team deal. It just doesn't sound like the Sixers would want to move off of most or any of those guys. But we will continue to monitor that. As again, it's silly season. We've got the draft tomorrow. KHDK will have all your coverage of the NBA draft. Let me throw out some advice to people. Do not publicly question Alperen Sengun. Don't do it. I have half the country of Turkey now hates me.
Just half?
I mean, maybe more, but on Twitter at least. Just killing me on Twitter. Also, Darren Revell reporting. And Jay, real quick, before you call Jason Anderson, this is for you. I want you to be a part of this. BetMGM has signed Marshawn Lynch to a deal. Marshawn put out a statement. Out of my intense love and respect for Marshawn, I am going to read his statement, his written statement, verbatim. Being part of the BetMGM family is dope and an honor. They're the leaders in online gaming, so I'm excited to learn. Plus, with ambassadors like Barry, Gretzky, and Jalen, I think the kid is in good company. You know what I mean?
I love Marshawn.
I love him so much. Marshawn Lynch is a wonderful, wonderful character. And I hope that he remains in our horizons, near and far, for a long time. The world is better with personalities like Marshawn Lynch in the world. 1-800-920-1140 is our phone line. 916-339-1140 is our text line. You can watch us on YouTube, as always. Just go to YouTube, search KHDK, and hey, look, there we are. Good morning. How are you? you can get yourself involved in the chat. Smash the like and subscribe buttons. That's what you're supposed to say. And as always, both on the app and on YouTube, all shows are archived for you to watch on demand, or of course to rewatch or re-listen if you miss something early, including I'm very proud of our Olympics history on the theme. I'm very proud of that. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that rabbit hole. I'm also proud of our next guest from the Sacramento Bee. Used to cover news in Stockton and just working his way up. Came in, smashed into Kings coverage, doing an excellent job for Scott LaBarre and the Sacramento Bee. The one, the only, Jason Anderson. Good morning, Jason.
Sir, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I've been working on my game. Draft is here. I'm hoping this is the year they finally call my name.
How often do you deal with Scott LaBarre over there? I don't know how the hierarchy works or everything, but I know he's a suit over there, I think, pretty much.
Yeah, no, Scott's big time. Yeah. He's got more important things to do than deal with me. But, here and there, we've all worked remotely, for a year and a half. So most of the exchanges are via email and maybe a phone call here and there. But Scott's over there doing his thing.
Please tell him hello and send my love the next time you talk to him. It's been too long. I've known Scott since I was 11 years old, and one of the best in the business. Not too many people know who he is, but a pillar of Sacramento journalism.
Absolutely.
Jason, there's just so much swirling. Will the Kings draft? If they do, who will they pick? Will they trade for Kyle Kuzma? Will Philadelphia get involved in the Buddy Hield deal? Is it going to be a three-team deal? Now, let's just start with a simple question. Do you believe the Sacramento Kings will draft at number 9 tomorrow? I know, right?
Yeah. No. Here's, it's funny that you know Monty's never had a top 10 pick. 13 years in Houston, and they were never in the top 10. He was obviously number 12 here last year. And I think there's a good chance that they deal this pick. I think they're certainly exploring all of those possibilities. They want to make an impactful move now. They want to move the ball next year. They want to get better now. Whoever you're going to pick, there's going to be some good guys on the board at number 9. Questionable, just how much one of those guys is going to move you forward next year. So I think he's looking for opportunities, whether it's with that pick or a couple of guys on the roster to put together a package to. Maybe make a big move and make some improvements in this team right away. I don't know, Dave. I don't know. Are they trading the pick? Are they keeping the pick? I don't know. I think that depends on what the offers are and what they feel like makes sense for them.
Jason, speaking of the draft, you and several others I've seen, it's been like this weird treasure hunt to try to find who the hell the Kings have actually worked out. What's it like trying to cover this draft without being able to talk to any prospects, see who's involved, and really see who's come in outside of stalking people's Instagrams and Snapchat pages?
Yeah, no, it's been interesting and it's been different. Customarily we would get a heads up that these six guys are coming in for a workout and we would be invited into the building to talk to some of them and get to know them a little bit. Monty and this front office have decided this year they want to do things privately and all behind closed doors. Early on, the impression was that there were only a few teams in the league doing this. As I poked around a little more, I was hearing that really most teams in the league were doing something like this year. Some were still very open, but more have sort of shut things down. And I think, someone explained to me the reason is that, other teams will look at these reports of who you've brought in for workouts, particularly if you brought somebody in for a second workout, and, kind of use that intel to, possibly move around the draft board and leapfrog you if they feel like they need to. So, that's part of what I think they're doing and trying to keep things close to the vest. But, it's been interesting to track down some of the prospects and some of the workouts, whether it's through, their Instagram accounts or other channels. Early on, we pointed to several people several players who would come in for workouts. The Kings have got, I think we've got most of the names. I mean, as much as they tried to keep it quiet, You know, most of the guys in their range for that number nine pick have come in. Franz Wagner is kind of the exception there. And just that we don't know. We don't know if Franz has been here or not been here. He has kept his pre-draft process very quiet. It's been described as a little mysterious. And, you know, the thought occurred to me that the Kings also have been quiet and mysterious. And it does make me wonder if maybe that was orchestrated a little bit. The Kings like to do things quietly. And, you know, if Franz ends up being their guy, it's possible that they asked him to do things quietly as well.
Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee with us. Let me ask you a couple questions. Let's go off the beaten path here. And let's talk about the media's involvement in something like draft prep and silly season where we're at right now. This is the fourth front office I've covered, and recently the Pete D'Alessandro and Vlade Divac front offices there were leaks galore. There was tremendous media contact and involvement and off-record chats and all that stuff. And as you mentioned, and I completely agree with you, it's been very buttoned up. They're very polite, very nice, very accessible in the sense of, hey, how are you doing? But this is a very buttoned up front office. Now, you get paid and I get paid to cover this team and to try to break things and have insight and this and that, whatever. But taking our emotions and our livelihoods, I guess, out of the equation I see very little downside to the Kings keeping things quiet, very little downside to the Kings keeping things close to the vest. Am I missing something?
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, it can be a source of frustration a little bit if on our side of things, just trying to get information and know what they're up to. There's still some off-the-record discussions that take place and that I won't go into, but... It's a little different. But no, I mean, from the Kings' perspective, look, Monty's a guy who values information and data. I think he's playing it fairly smartly here in terms of, just not really showing his hand too much. He's, if anything, I think that's one thing we've learned about Monty is, you know, he does have a little bit of a poker face. He does like to keep, at least the important stuff to himself and not let it get out there and run too wild. I think from the team's perspective, that's probably for the best.
Well, and then just to kind of follow up there, I oftentimes will ask fellow media members these questions because now in the day of social media where somebody can change an Instagram bio and it becomes news. Listen, ultimately, you have to balance, for example, because you're an actual journalist, your job, which is to bring the best coverage to the fans and ultimately graded on, amongst other things, how many clicks are you getting? How many people are viewing your stories? What is your social media following? Whatever it is that the corporations now used to grade journalists. So you have the balance there on one side and the credibility of not being a succumbing to clickbait like so many of us do. And also knowing that agents and coaches and GMs and camps of players have increasingly become savvy when it comes to using us in the media as pawns to plant things. You have a source. It's a good source. You report it. It's part of a negotiation. How do you philosophically bridge that gap and try to filter in your responsibility to bring coverage, but also trying to make sure that you're not being a pawn as well? And by you, I mean all of us.
Well, that's a big question. We're into analytics too, in the newspaper game and the media game. But there are all kinds of people who will figure that stuff out. I don't worry about those numbers too much. There's all kinds of, information that it's best to publish a story this time of day, or you want to write a headline this way or whatever. And, I don't worry too much about that. I try to work hard. I try to get good information. I try to answer questions when possible that people are asking. And, you know, whether that story gets published in the morning, in the afternoon, whatever it is, I just feel like it's going to work itself out if we just, you know, keep working hard for people and you know, giving them good stories.
Jason Anderson, the Sacramento Bee, joining us. One of the bigger stories around Sacramento and the Kings has been the ongoing saga of Marvin Bagley. Obviously, there's a lot of speculation that the Kings are looking to deal him. Jason, if the Kings don't get the offer that they're looking for, in your opinion, is the team comfortable bringing him back in and making him a rotational piece next season?
You know, I don't have anything directly on that, but I don't think they're going to make a move that's bad for them. In Marvin's case, I don't know if the bar is going to be super high in terms of what they want back. There's obviously some benefit to them just by freeing up some money that they can do different things with. So, I don't know that we're going to necessarily run into that. But, you know, if there just are no good offers, they can't find anything they like, if they can't find anything at all, I mean, he is under contract. He is still a promising young player. And really, there's still a chance that he can help this team long term. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Marvin's likely headed out very soon. But I don't think Monty would. I think Monty would bring him back if he felt like that was the best thing.
So rank for me. Let's do some goofy sports radio. Rank for me most to least likely. To be with the Sacramento Kings next season, in no particular order. The number 9 pick in the draft, Marvin Bagley, Buddy Hield. Who's most and who's least likely to suit up opening day?
Most likely, I believe, would be the number 9 pick.
Okay.
And again, I'm not sure that they're going to make that pick, but I think there's a greater chance that the number 9 pick will be on this roster than Marvin or Buddy.
And then let me just follow up, though. I am curious, Marvin or Buddy, who do you think between those two most likely?
It seems like a little bit of a market has developed for Buddy, and which is interesting, you know, just sort of kind of going back to your previous question about people and narratives and you know, it's interesting the kind of the assessment of Buddy and his value around the league. Over the past year, there was a very low point in terms of the way people looked at him. And I think back to a conversation I had with a prominent agent, legendary even executive, who just didn't think Buddy had any value, and the Kings didn't think the Kings were going to be able to move him for anything. But even at the same time, another executive that I talked to here and there was saying, no, Buddy has an elite skill. He can shoot. There's always going to be a team that sees that and needs that. And I think that's where we're at now, you know, that sort of this market is kind of coming into focus. People recognize, look, Buddy is a phenomenal shooter. And there's a lot he can do for a team. I think Philly makes a lot of sense. If that's which way he ends up going. I think the Lakers make a lot of sense if that's which way he ends up going. Those are teams that, you know, maybe have what they need to hide his deficiencies a little bit, but also, you know, can capitalize on you know, what he does bring to the table. So, I think Buddy's probably most likely to go. I think there's a little bit more of a market right now for Buddy than Marvin.
Jason, there's obviously a consensus around the number 9 pick. There's a few guys that I think everyone thinks will be a Sacramento King if they keep that pick. However, if they trade out of that pick and end up in a maybe later first round pick, they've also worked out a lot of guys that were middle to late first round picks. Is there anybody out of that group that sticks out to you as someone that they may have their eye on if they were to somehow trade back?
Well, I mean, it's hard to imagine they wouldn't be interested in somebody like Josh Giddey. On some level, and you know, Giddey in some projections actually goes a little bit higher than number 9. There aren't many of those, but you know, Giddey's a guy. You know, they didn't, to my knowledge, they didn't. Well, I know they didn't have Usman Garuba into Sacramento. I don't think he made any. He's been busy with his national team, so but it's possible they saw him work out somewhere. But Garuba is you know, the best defensive player in this draft, probably. And you know, the Kings are a team that obviously needs to get better defensively. So whatever they do, you know, I think their decision is going to be tied a little bit to the idea of getting better on defense. I think this is a front office that wants to take best player available. But if you really get down to it and you feel like it's a close call between a couple guys and one of them clearly is not going to make you better defensively or might even be another guy who's a liability on defense, I think it's going to be hard to go that direction. You know, Corey Kispert, Corey Kispert can really shoot it, but, you know, there are questions about him defensively. So if you're looking at trading back, possibly, he's a guy that's in that conversation, but I don't know that he makes you better defensively. Jalen Johnson, perhaps, but I don't know how the Kings feel about his pre-draft process and the way he answered questions about, you know, the red flags in his history. So, you know, I don't know. I think the sweet spot for them, Ty Jones. I'll point to Ty Jones as a guy if they do move back. He's a big from Texas, really good potential defensively. So that might be a guy to answer your question if they do end up moving back that they have some interest in. But the sweet spot, honestly, for them kind of looks like it is in that 9 range if they make the pick in terms of, like, big wings. You know, I think a lot of us feel that this team needs to get bigger, stronger, more physical, better defensively. And there are, you know, 2 or 3 guys that might fit that mold a little bit in the 9 range if they stay there.
Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee with us. Let me talk to you philosophically about Marvin Bagley. There is nothing going on right now with the Kings that gives me more nightmares than Marvin Bagley. We all know about the Bagley-Luka thing, and the only thing worse, in my opinion, than drafting Marvin Bagley over Luka Doncic is trading Marvin Bagley somewhere and watching him flourish and develop. And it occurred to me a while back, Jason, you can disagree, that in the Kings' position, where they're at, if Marvin Bagley had been drafted by another team and had the same exact career, this is the exact type of player that we would be talking about the Kings going after, a guy that has shown flashes of offensive brilliance, a guy who is still extremely young, was the number 2 pick in the draft. This is not Derek Williams. This is not some of the number 2 picks we've had in the past that have done nothing on the floor. This is a guy that, when healthy, is almost a walking double-double. So the worry is he gets out of the system, flourishes, and Kings fans now have double duty between Luka and between Marvin leaving here and excelling to have to deal with. Do you share that? Do you think the Kings front office shares that thought?
Wow, what a nightmare. Yeah, you know, I think they have to. You know, I mean, you have to look at this. Big guys can take a while to develop. Yeah. I mean, we know that. And, you know, it's almost the likely outcome, isn't it? That, you know, Marvin gets into a new situation and kind of settles down and settles in a little bit and just starts to figure things out. You know, skill-wise, physically, coming into, you know, kind of his body a little bit. And, you know, yeah, I think that is that has to be a concern, but it can't be, you know, you can't be crippled by that either and not do anything. I just think things have gone so sideways here for Marvin and you know, for the organization and dealing with Marvin that I just don't know that there's a I don't know. It feels awkward and uncomfortable if there's going to be a future here between the two sides. But, yeah, absolutely. It's a real possibility that Marvin goes somewhere else and you know, turns into a really good player. I mean, we've seen it here. We've seen him have phenomenal stretches. But, you know, 8, 10, 12 games, and then, you know, there's another injury, and then you don't see him for a month or two. So, yeah, I mean that is I hadn't thought of it the way you just laid it out, Dave. But yeah, it really could be a double whammy for Kings fans someday if they've got to look at Luka and Dallas and Marvin starts balling somewhere else.
Jason Anderson of the Bee with us, Jason. What's coming up? What are the next 24 hours, 48 hours going to look like for you and the Bee and your coverage?
Well, I would direct everybody over to sackbee.com. We're just like loaded wall to wall with King stuff. I've been busy. My colleagues over there have been busy. I've got a couple of stories up today. One talking with Jerry West and with Jerry Reynolds, who kind of have different perspectives on the draft and how important it is to an organization. We talk here a lot about how small markets have to get it right in the draft. And, you know, talking to Jerry West over the weekend, he said, no, forget small markets. Everybody's got to get this right. This is the lifeblood of any NBA team. You've got to make good choices here. So that's an interesting read. There's another story that's got all the latest rumors and, news, notes, analysis. And so people can find that. Marcos Breton has a piece today. I think Dale Kassler is even in on a Kings angle today.
Wow.
Looking at the arena and kind of bringing life back to Doco and the city. So, yeah, we're wall-to-wall coverage already today, and we'll continue to be throughout the draft and into free agency. So visit sackby.com for everything you want on the Kings.
That's almost everyone. I mean, you have the longest tenured B writer right now, Marcos Breton, weighing in. That's par for the course. Marcos isn't shy. When you bring the great Dale Kassler up to slum in the world of sports and do his thing, you know important things are going on. As long as Ryan Lillis doesn't weigh in, I'm good. Let's just keep – tell Ryan to stick to other things and, Bruce Springsteen concerts or whatever he's good at. Keep him off the sports beat. And also, Jason, I cannot let you go without acknowledging that was a fantastic way that you slipped in that you just happened to speak to the logo. I mean, really well done, and I didn't miss it, Jason.
Look, I screenshotted my call log the other day. It was Jerry West, Jerry Reynolds, Gary Gerald, if you had told me at 12 or 14 years old that my call log was going to look like that one day, I wouldn't have believed you. But, look, you mentioned some great people at the B. People need to know how dedicated and amazing our team of journalists are over there. Those are all the people you mentioned, and so many more are just incredible. They're working hard. I pinched myself just to work with them as well. We're on the grind. We're always working for Sacramento, and we appreciate all the support.
SacBee.com. Get your subscription like I do. Support local journalism. Without local journalism, we are all in trouble. Whether you agree or disagree, we need it. Jason Anderson writes for the B, and I'm sure we will talk to you very, very soon. Get some sleep. Eat right. It's going to be very busy next 48 hours.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And we agree on everything he said, except Ryan Lillis. All right, Ryan brings nothing to the table. Nothing. Ryan's the same guy that recommended a peanut butter and pepperoni pizza to me once. Truth be told, not as bad as I thought it would be. Not great. Not ever going to repeat that process, though. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
We are running, say it three times, way late on this. So let's take a break. When we come back, Jay's got your once in a blue moon, including something. Baseball's been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This has never, ever happened before, and you can't say that often. We'll tell you what it was next.
Same Carmichael Dave time, same Carmichael Dave channel, but a new text line number at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Coming to you live. Bummer, sir. Such as it is. Us and all our friends.
All of them. Every single one of them. Some I've almost hit with my car. Not on purpose.
We're speaking, of course, of the terrible unhoused. Well, I don't even know if that's the right way to say it, because it's all like RVs and cars. Unhoused, yeah. That doesn't count as a house. And saying this with the utmost sympathy and utmost, feel very, whatever issues we have pale in comparison to the issues these folks have. But we're literally, no joke, not making light of it, in the middle of a homeless camp on Commerce Circle. Google it. It's been written about. And to Jay's point, mention it because something has to be done if for no other reason. Someone's going to get hurt. And to your point, Jay, this is a true story. Three times. We come to work at dark.
I'm not trying to be funny.
At all. And I get it. We come to work at dark. Forget about the danger. Forget about crime and all that stuff, which can be hotly contested and debated. We come to work and it is dark outside. I drive down the circle here at about 5 miles an hour because not once, not twice, three times I have come up on somebody in the dark in my way as I'm driving on the road. And one of those times was somebody sitting on a blanket. I don't know what they were doing. I did not ask. On a phone right where the yellow lines are in the middle of the road. And I worry, forget about all the, whether it's an inconvenience for them, for us, forget about that. I am terrified something bad is going. Something bad has already happened, by the way. We had a homicide on this circle last week. It is a terrible, terrible situation. I don't know what the solution is. It's way above my pay grade, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're live. We're live doing a radio show. It is right outside our doors. By the way, also, if you didn't know already, between the smoke and haze that's going on right now, 102 degrees today. I just went outside. It is gross, and it's not even 9 a.m.
Is it hazy?
It's hazy.
Ugh.
It's smoky. You can smell it. It's going to be 102. The air quality is going to be terrible. So if you work outside, if you have to go outside, and obviously if you have issues already, asthma, et cetera, please do take care. Be careful. It is not going to be a fun day outdoors in the greater Sacramento area. All right, right now let's get to it. Once in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
From friends of the show, ESPN Stats and Info. Abraham Toro. Homer for the Astros against the Mariners on Monday. That's a fun accomplishment, right?
Abraham Toro. That is, by the way, that is a fine name.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing, though. He was traded to Seattle on Tuesday and proceeded to homer for the Mariners against the Astros.
Interesting.
He's the first player in MLB history to homer for and against a single team on consecutive days.
Wow. Never, ever, ever.
Ever, ever.
Never happened. And baseball's been around since, what, 1970?
Baseball's been around, I believe, since 1643.
Uh-huh. That's a big deal. Well, that must
Didn't
be...
Didn't Babe Ruth sign a Declaration of Independence?
He did.
That was him, right?
Yeah. He signed it George Herman Ruth.
Got it.
That must be a Homer Simpson, because the pitcher just said, don't! Remember that, SportsCenter? That was, I think, Kenny Mayne. That wasn't me. I didn't come up with that.
But you were going to take the credit.
No.
Then you thought about it. Like, wait, he probably knows that. I can't do it. It's fine.
The 2017 National Treasures NFL Shield, Patrick Mahomes, rookie. This is an autographed one-of-one card graded out at 8.5. Sold for $4.3 million. The largest football card transaction to date. The card was acquired by the Ohio-based LJ's Card Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, LJ's Card Shop. You're done. You can disappear now if you'd like. $4.3 million, you can do whatever you want.
So here's my question for said card shop, right?
Yeah.
$4.3 million you pay for a card. I'm guessing the idea is you're going to turn that for a profit, right? You're not buying that to keep it.
Yeah, to be clear, as I understand it, the card shop had the card and sold it.
Oh, okay. I thought they acquired the card.
Yeah.
Oh, no, LJ's good then.
That's what I'm saying. LJ's good.
I'm guessing they probably sold it to a private investor.
Mm-hmm.
Do these guys actually keep the cards, or do they just wait for a later date and turn them?
Well,
and then what is the profit margin you're looking at here?
That I don't know, and I think it depends. It's like any stock or equity in your home or whatever. You know, some people, you know, buy a card for 10, 20 grand and turn it around for a couple million down the road. Some people will buy a card for a couple million and take a massive loss on it. And that, to me, is why I could never be successful in anything like that, because holding on to a card and watching the value rise,
mm-hmm,
and sitting there and going, you know, I could sell this for a really big profit right now, but oh my God, what's it going to be worth next year? And am I going to kick myself? Is second only to buying a card for a lot of money and watching the value drop and having to make the decision, oh my God, do I cut my losses now? Because you've never really lost anything until you sell. Do I cut my losses and push away from the table now, saving me more losses, or do I wait it out and possibly lose the whole thing?
Yeah. If you're into that market, it's up and down. And it's so, I mean, just to get your cards graded is so expensive. That's really the only way to sell them. Like, I did enough research on this earlier in the year. If you're trying to sell cards that are ungraded, you are literally selling them for, like, probably, God. If a card grades at a 10 for $100, you're going to sell it without a grade for like 5.
Right.
Just to give you an idea of how much money you're potentially losing out on. But to grade a card, especially if it's an expensive one, it costs money to grade it. If it's really expensive, then you have to insure it. Yep. It was like, oh my gosh.
Even just mailing it would freak me out.
Oh, I'm with you. That's why I haven't done it.
Finally, we got a break here. You heard maybe perhaps the team formerly known as the Cleveland Indians changed their name to the Cleveland Guardians last week. With that comes social media, Guardians, Guardians.com, ClevelandGuardians.com, all that. Well, what
are they going to have a Guardians of the Galaxy night? They should.
I would imagine they will. One thing the Cleveland baseball team knew about but apparently didn't care about, which is now becoming a major issue for them, they don't own any of the property. They don't own the website. They don't own the social media. They don't own the trademark because the Cleveland Guardians for the last 10 years has been a men's roller derby team.
Stop.
They have it all. They have the trademark petitions. They own all of it. Now, will they get paid off? I'm sure. Figures ranging from $1 to $25 million. Are out there, and it just begs the question, don't you maybe have more leverage if you go to them and say, we want to give you $1 million for all of this, but if you say no, we're going to choose another name and you're going to get nothing. Now they've announced it. They have no leverage.
Also,
it's so stupid.
Also, who in the organization didn't do their due diligence to see if it was trademarked?
They knew it. Jay, I'll send you the article. They knew it. They had already investigated it. They already had lawyers on it. They knew beforehand as long as a year ago.
And they hadn't worked out a deal?
No.
Before announcing it? That's just dumb.
Still went ahead with it.
Wow.
Took away all their leverage. We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, final segment in the program, What's on Tap? And there's a lot on tap today. And, of course, the crossover. We'll do all that right after that.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh.
It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
Bagel Bites.
Bagel Bites. They got to be done right. They can be way too chewy. If they're way too chewy, and really, that happens when you microwave them. What happens is they're super chewy, and you bite down, and then the interior of the bite squirts out at 195 degrees, thus killing you in your mouth. Not good.
So your mouth has died a few times from a bagel bite?
Yeah, that's if you put them all in. I like to put them, one bite. It's a bite.
Mm-hmm.
But some people will actually, bite half, and then the problem is you're pulling the bagel, it's stretching, you got cheese, and really, Bagel Bites, less than sign, pizza rolls. Pizza rolls greater than sign Bagel Bites. A rare sub-sponsor today for What's on Tap, and remember, business owners, this could be your name right here. What's on Tap brought to you by Excessively Stupid Olympic Decisions.
Oh.
Daniil Medvedev at one point during his match yesterday was bent over in exhaustion. He was resting on his racket between points. He grasped for a rubber tube, blowing cool air next to his seat during changeovers. He needed two medical timeouts, one visit from a trainer, and at one point he was suffering so much from the suffocating heat and humidity at the Ariake Tennis Park in Japan, that the chair umpire asked him if he could continue. Daniil Medvedev responded, quote, "I can finish the match, but I can die. If I die, are you going to be responsible?" Afterwards, Medvedev said he felt, quote, "darkness in his eyes. I was just ready to fall down on the court." Either way, he went 6-2, 3-6, 6-2 over Fabio Fognini of Italy. He is in the quarterfinals. Spanish player Paula Badosa was less fortunate. She left the court in a wheelchair after retiring from her quarterfinal match because of heat stroke. She then had to withdraw from a mixed doubles match later with her partner. The temperature was 88 degrees. That's hot, but doesn't seem crazy. But with the humidity in Japan, the heat index was 99 degrees. And the question started to come up, which I find a rather simple question, especially considering patrons are not allowed to attend. Why would the organizers, with perfectly well-working lights, not simply move the matches to the evening instead of starting them at 11 a.m.?
Got to be a television reason, right? Scheduling conflicts or something.
That's
the only thing I could come
up with.
Well,
organizers announced that matches will now begin at 3 p.m. starting tomorrow to make it easier on the players.
So not a television conflict, okay.
No, they just can't pull their heads out. They just simply can't. But you've got athletes. Listen, being an athlete's tough, and you got to get through stuff, and I get it. There's physical issues. I get it. It's part of the sport. Dude, we'd rather not see people dying or being wheelchaired off from
collapsing.
Heat exhaustion. Collapsing.
Not a good look.
At some point when players are saying, "I might die. Darkness is filling my eyes. I am dehydrated. I need 3 timeouts and a visit from a trainer." That's usually a hint, hey, let's avoid tragedy. And not even tragedy, let's just simply avoid people having to pull out simply because of the weather.
Whatever.
When you have an alternate way of
doing
it. Rub
some dirt on it.
Yeah, walk it off. Hey, Dan, walk it off. Crossover time right now.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
DC?
Yes, sir.
Guys gave us that chicken tender question and sauces and
nugget tenders.
You need something to wash your food down, though.
Wash it down.
We got onto root beer on the show.
Oh, not any kind of beer.
Root beer. You like root beer?
Yes, I do.
I do, too.
Yeah. Easy. So that leads us to your question is, well, let's say you're making a float. What is your root beer of choice?
On a root beer float? Yeah, just rank your root beers.
Yeah, rank your root beer.
But you just had me a root beer float.
Matter of fact, I'm on my way now.
Yeah, float on.
Float on, baby.
Rank your
Christie ain't had a root beer float since 84.
Yeah, exactly. Doug Christie might have had seltzer with like a sprig of all-natural sarsaparilla in there and some frozen Greek yogurt. Doug, you had no root beer float. Get out of here.
He's for sure not going yesterday to get one.
Doug's body would literally collapse if it had something like root beer introduced into the system.
Mm-mm. We don't allow for those toxins into that body.
So here's the thing, gentlemen, and this is a very passionate topic for me, at least. Number one, it's like putting A1 on a fine steak. If I'm drinking my favorite root beer, I'm not doing it as a float. I don't need any accoutrement. The finest root beer in the world is A&W root beer from the tap. From the tap. At an A&W store. From the tap. That's very different. Give me your dads, your barks, and I'm sure some ding-dongs are going to send in like, "Oh, have you tried Old Pappy's root beer ale?" Yeah, okay. I'm talking about mainstream ones. Just grab a mug root beer and throw some ice cream in there. But the best root beer floats, Jay, are soft serve ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
No substitute.
I agree.
Don't go home and pull out some big frozen scoop.
I think soft serve has one of the worst wraps ever. Soft serve ice cream is great.
Mm. It's wonderful. Crossover question for the two of you. We were talking about sports themes earlier this morning. Here's a question for you. Which is more iconic, the CBS Masters theme or the Fox NFL theme? For Jay, for Jason Anderson, for Deirdre Fitzpatrick, I'm Dave. Jim Rome is next. Go Kings. Love you. Bye-bye now.